This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with a Survivor exit interview, and we got a good one here for you today. I mean, I guess depending on your perspective, because we are very sad to see Matt Blankenship voted out of the game. And he was just somebody who contributed so much to this season, and very much looking forward to hearing from him on this exit interview podcast. I kind of thought that the Matt and Franny storyline was going to go deeper into the season. So it was certainly a surprise for me to have Matt be the person voted out last night. But we will get into all that with him in just a moment. Very controversial episode of Survivor last night, and probably not even controversial because I've seen only negativity about the episode overall. I gave my thoughts on it with Stephen Fishback. I think I was probably higher than most based off of how I am trying to do the mental gymnastics to talk myself into that this wasn't actually that crazy what was going on in last night's episode. You could hear that conversation with Stephen, of course, in our Survivor Know-It-Alls episode. Today, I am also just super excited. Not only do I get this exit interview here today, but I also get to catch up with my great friend Christian Hubicki on the podcast tonight. So we'll take your questions with Christian and get into that. Make sure you subscribe. Rob has a website.com/subscribe. We'll also have a feedback show on Monday with Frail Mary this week. If you want to check out the video of this interview, check it out on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Let's go ahead and bring in Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you? Rob Cesternino here. I'm very sad to see you go out of the game this week because I thought you were just such a fun and unique character to have on the show. And I thought you came across as incredibly charming in your confessionals. And I'm looking forward to chatting today.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is a thrilling experience to get talked to Rob. So.
Okay, well, all right. Well, the pleasure is mine. I want to ask you first about something that happened in the episode last night. You and Brandon were talking, and you were discussing about whether or not the person who is the best at Survivor always does the best on Survivor. And Brandon said, okay, well, yes, you can get screwed, but there's always a way out. Now, based off of what you experienced, do you think that Brandon is right or is he wrong?
You like to think that, you know, the best player always wins and is always in your hands. But the truth of it is I don't think that's true. I'm not bitter. I don't want to come across as bitter or like upset, but I really, every other permutation of those rocks, I think I do better. Like I'm in a fine position. It was just that specific possibility, that one universe where I am like screwed and there's kind of nothing I can do.
Where's Dr. Strange? And
yeah, to me, I felt I like kind of nod because it's not a good look to be like, no, Brandon, like, but in that moment, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you have a necklace, you're totally safe. Like, that's like fat words coming from you in this moment where it's like clearly me who's going home and there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Matthew, can you give us any updates that you can share about the status of you and Franny? Because I just want to speak for all the Survivor fans that I talk to and all the RHAP fans that we are very much rooting for you two.
Yeah, I gotta say, I have good news for the Manny Stannies. Me and Franny are going strong. Our relationship has blossomed, like, even more so than on the show. And yeah, no, we got Ethiopian food.
Yes,
we made that happen. The road trip is on the cards. We're working that out now. So yeah, all of the rumors are true. Me and Franny are still together.
Okay, wonderful to hear. I noticed you said Manny. Is that your preferred portmanteau? You'd like that more than Frankenship?
To be honest, I love them both. And actually, my favorite, which Franny hates, is Frathew, because I think it's hilarious. Like, there's something really silly about that. But Frankenship is really good. That, like, we didn't think of that on the island. And when on the island, we were kind of pushing together, and like Manny was what we came up with.
Okay. All right. Going back to last night, you know, a lot of viewers had said, hey, oh, why doesn't Franny throw the challenge there to protect you? Was that something that occurred to you in the real time, Matt?
It did occur to me. I mean, you're standing there with that pole. They didn't show timestamps, but it was like an hour. It was a long time when you're standing there with that pole. And so, of course, you're running through the numbers and you're thinking mm-hmm. about it. And of course, in that moment, I'm thinking, like, just drop the ball, Freddie. Like, you are safe already. I'm going to be safe. Like, it'll work out no matter what. But at the same time, I cannot, like, blame her for wanting to push herself and like fight through this challenge. You know, it's easy to be like, oh, I would have won or I could have won, but you never know that unless you prove it. And she proved it. She took down freaking Brandon, this behemoth of a man. like, I mean, you love to see it. And they didn't show this either, but when she won, when I saw Brandon's ball drop, there was like a dual reaction for me where the first emotional response was joy. I was like, I can't believe, you know, like Franny has this immunity win. That's huge for her. Like, I'm so proud of her. I was like excited for her. And then whiplash into, oh shit, I'm totally screwed. Yeah.
Life comes at you fast. At the tribal council, we saw Heidi stand up and take Lauren's vote and put it on Jam Jam. Was there a bigger reaction to that than from what we saw at the tribal council? Was there any more discussion about what the group should do?
So they did not discuss at all the advantage at tribal, right? It was just Heidi stands up, she says what it does, and then we go vote. When she said what the advantage was, I thought I was safe, right? I was like, you know, this is my chance. Like, my only saving grace here. What I thought, yeah. So if she had put any Ratu vote on any other Ratu, me and Jam Jam would have voted together, like, 100%. We would both have been safe. But when she said Lauren on Jam Jam, in my mind, I was like, that changes nothing, right? Like, Ratu's already going to split their three votes. They just have to shuffle it around. So another emotional whiplash moment of like, I'm screwed. Oh, I'm safe. Like, Heidi's got me. Oh, actually, I'm screwed again. Like, it's just so, so turbulent.
Okay. So we saw you and Jam Jam talking. You mentioned that you would have voted with him if the vote was going on to another person. So that were you planning to vote together going up into that tribal council? And then ultimately it just like the way that things played out, you could cause you two to both vote for each other.
So, I mean, we crunched all the numbers, right? In a tribe of five, if only just the two of us can't swing it. Like, even if it's a tie and like they have the numbers to make whatever they want to happen. So it kind of like we ran through every possibility. It doesn't really matter how we vote, especially considering that Lauren has an extra vote. Mm-hmm. And we all know that. So at that point, like, we were both like, you know, Jam Jam, I love you. I'm going to be trying to advocate for them to send you home tonight instead of me. Like, that was the dialogue between us. And it was, I don't know, an understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, can you tell us, was there more of a backstory to the papaya that you brought to Jeff at Tribal Council?
the papaya was all off the cup. We went to the other beach and like found a papaya, and I was thinking about the other group. I was like, they're probably hungry. We should bring them fruit. And I just brought it with me to tribal. And then sitting there, I was like my swan song. I was trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I have this thing in my hand. Like, let's make it a bit. In that moment, I was also like, this is legitimately my best shot at staying in the game. It's like pitching to Jeff that no one goes home and I give him a papaya. Like, I don't know. I thought it was funny. That was pretty much why.
So
that's the only story with the papaya.
Matt, you also seem to be burned by not having your bag or any of your stuff. You mentioned your bag of tricks. Would you have played a shot in the dark had you had it, or even attempted to use the idol that you had?
Yeah. At that point, I was so confident that it was me, and there was like no hope for me outside of a shot in the dark, basically. So I would have played the fake idol. I knew it was fake. I don't care. I don't mind looking like a fool on television. I would have played the shot in the dark. I would have done all of that. But it wasn't meant to be.
Okay. I really want to ask from you if you could give us the update of what you knew at the time that you went out of the game about the authenticity of your idol and any other idols in the game, and how you arrived at those conclusions.
Right. So actually much, much earlier than was shown, I was suspicious of my idol. Because I had heard whispers that there were two idols in the Ratu cage, and I had only found one. So immediately I'm kind of like, this is kind of weird. But I had no idea who had the real one. And so that factored into the Josh vote, actually, is if I have an idol, I'm pretty sure it's fake, but I don't know who has the real one. And then Josh is telling all these crazy stories about idols to everyone. That situation was very confusing, and I thought he probably had it or something like that. And then when he went home without having played it, I was very sure at that point it was Danny. He was the only other possibility. They were the ones who like went off by themselves to look for idols the most at Soka Beach. And I also put the pieces together with Danny, like kind of, you know, holding my hand to go find the idol. I was like, that sneaky little snake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt, did you have any conversation with Danny about your questions about the idol, or you didn't want to tip him off?
I didn't want to tip him off. So my thinking was, if I know that Danny has an idol, but Danny doesn't know that I know, that is like kind of fertile ground for a Danny blindside, or at least the Danny idol flesh. I was sort of trying to start laying the foundation for that. And I was making cross tribe bonds as well. I felt actually really good about my social game at this moment. Obviously it didn't work out that way,
yeah.
But like in the wider group of 11, I felt really strong about where I was.
You know, Matt, we haven't seen a real vote between the three tribes. I had thought coming into this merge that based off of what we saw with Danny and Brandon at the summit with Carolyn, that Soka and Ratu were going to be working together as groups. But we saw that both in this tribal council with you being targeted and Danny talking about Lauren, that maybe that's not the case. Can you just give us sort of from your perspective, just overall where the three tribes are fitting together at this point in the game?
Right. So I think part of the unpredictability aspect of the game, right? You have no idea what's coming. You don't know how it's going to shake out. And so, I think that encourages players to actually like play a little bit more conservatively, play it a little bit more safe. And right now, Carson said in the episode, there's this kind of like Soka Ratu war with Tika playing both sides in the middle. I think that probably is the dynamic right now, but it wouldn't necessarily have been if it was a full group, because I mean, I was not the only one making cross tribe connections, right? None of us are playing so simple of a game as like, I was with Soka, so I'm staying with Soka. Like, I don't know. Everyone is more, is not that two dimensional. So I think if it had been a wider group, the discussion would have been much more nuanced than just Soka Ratu war Tika mm-hmm. in the middle.
Okay.
But yeah.
Matt, we saw you in the first episode lose your vote for two tribal councils. How much did losing your vote affect your position in the game from your perspective?
Yeah. Jamie made this comment of like, Matt's like playing really slow, whatever. I felt like my hand was forced to play slow, right? Especially in a group of five, I can't make a move or push for anything without a vote. Like, the only way I skate by here is like a large majority. So I am basically trying to foster a simple vote, a large majority vote, and like and that can be perceived as playing really slow. I think I was handcuffed in that by that like situation to play really conservatively and just like kind of pray that I get through my two lost votes. Mm-hmm.
Matt, last question that I have for you is about Jamie, who seemed to make the transition to come to Soka, but we saw that she was still very close to Ratu in this episode. Did you feel like that she was a part of Soka when she was there with you all?
To be honest, not at all. I genuinely tried to create, I was thinking about a Danny Blindside anyway, as early as when Jamie came to Soka. So I was like tentatively trying to like create something with her, but, she was staying very Ratu strong. She claimed that they hadn't opened the birdcage. She claimed that the first vote was really simple, and like, there were already kind of whispers that this was not true. And mm-hmm. so I was kind of like, Jamie is clearly lying to my face and doesn't want to work with me. And she's definitely still Ratu strong. Like, that was plain for me to see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Matt, it was really nice to talk to you. I wish that we had a little bit more time to do, have you on for a big long pod. Oh my God. I can't believe I keep talking about a big long pod. Matt, all the best outside the show to you and Franny, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Matt Blankenship here on the podcast. So, some interesting stuff here. Matt does feel like, got a raw deal with the draw of the swapped tribes. Probably no denying that. Also confirmed that Manny, a.k.a. Frankenship, still going strong in the real world. So we can confirm love is alive and well here in 2023. So excited to get that. Also good to get some insight into the dynamics between the three tribes. And I do feel like that, believe it or not, like I do feel like the intentional or the unintentional Matt Singh is alive and well. While, Jam Jam's name is out there, it does seem like coming into a merge and you're only like two people or even like two and a half people with Carson, that does seem like a good place to be at the merge as the two bigger tribes are gunning for each other. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Jordan Kalish is going to join us for This Week in Survivor History, coming up right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, everybody, we are back here with the man who is ready to take us back in time into Survivor history. He's wearing his Cartier watch. Here he is. It's Jordan Kalish.
How you doing, Rob?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Jordan, did you hear the news about how the rumors are circulating about how the This Week in Survivor history expanding to 90 minutes in season 45?
Yes, we are going to be recording extra long episodes. I'm going to have about 40 to 50 trivia questions every week. I'm going to have a staff working for me putting these questions together. It's going to be great, Rob.
That's amazing. Okay. How's everything else going for you, Jordan?
Everything's going great. So over the weekend, I produced one of these one-day live Survivor games. It was in an apartment this time. It was a lot of fun. It was really nice, actually, being in an apartment. It was warm, comfortable. And Tiffany Seely got to play, actually. Tiffany played. And
yes. Happy to hear that
these douchebags.
The apartment was temporary. What douchebags? What are you talking about?
These douchebags voted Tiffany out first. Are you kidding me?
You went to an apartment that was a nice temperature, and then some douchebag voted out Tiffany Seely first on Mergatory week.
Who does that? Who does that? Who votes out the person that you get from the actual show first? Come on. And this is from the guy that has voted out.
Was it George
before? But George was the executive producer on this game, and he was not thrilled about that either. But look.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I mean, someone from her tribe did win the game. So I guess it worked down the line. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Jordan.
They were actually very nice people. If you're listening, I like all of you.
Sure.
I really do.
Sure. Okay. All right. So, hope you had a happy Passover last week.
I've been pretty good Passover. Not as much traveling as normal. So it's been a little more relaxing, but it's, hope you had a good Easter, a couple days ago.
Yeah. We did have some bagels on Sunday. I was thinking of you. A new line for your merch store, should be, you got your classic bagel, all the seeds. And then it says, everything is awesome.
Ooh. I like it. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next bagel shirt.
Get in the store.
All right. Jordan, let's go ahead and get into your latest round of questions for me. I've been on a hot streak, I feel like. No?
I think you just cut out for me.
I've been on a hot streak.
You have been on a hot streak. You haven't, I think, lost since maybe the first or second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go all the way back to a season that I know you know very well. Survivor the Australian Outback.
Yeah.
Tina Wesson famously rescued the Barramundi rice container after the Australian Outback flood. Who accompanied her across the current to help bring the rice back to camp?
Who accompanied her across? Was it Keith Famey?
Keith Famey, the chef. He famous for cooking the rice, not to everybody's liking, is correct. You get 2 points. Good start, Rob. The old school seasons always tend to work out favorably for you. And now we're going to go to what I would consider a middle school season. At the Exile Island Final 8 Immunity Challenge, 5 contestants chose to feast on cheeseburgers instead of competing, while 3 participated in the challenge. In alphabetical order, the players left in the game were Aris, Bruce, Sari, Courtney, Danielle, Sally, Shane, and Terry. Of those 8 players, which 3 chose to compete?
I believe the 3 folks who didn't get to eat any cheeseburgers, I believe, were, in alphabetical order, Aris, Sally, and Terry.
So Sally could have used immunity there. She did compete and unfortunately lost the challenge because she got voted out. Terry and Aris, yes, the 2 battering rams were the other 2 contestants who competed, which makes sense because according to Aris, when you're eating cheeseburgers, it means you're out of the game. So he was still in the game and he would continue to be in the game for that whole season. You get 2 more points on that question. Very good job. If I didn't list the contestants, would you have gotten everybody? I think you would have, right?
Yes, I would have taken a minute to have to remember Sally's name.
Yeah, that's why I listed them. I mean,
Ross.
She's the one. She's the one who gets voted out. Yes, the knee socks are not the easiest to remember all the time. Mm-hmm. So we've been going in order now throughout Survivor history. Started very old school, then we went middle school. This is like not new school anymore for sure, but a little bit later in Survivor history. This is a big week for Boston Rob because he did voted out of Marquesas this week. But this is going to be about Redemption Island, where he probably had his best season. Before Boston Rob's buddy system failed in Winners at War, it was massively successful in Redemption Island. The Ometepe Six had three pairs of buddies. Name the three pairs. So you have to say who was paired with who.
Okay. So I believe that, let me see. So Rob had his own buddy. So I believe, Natalie and Ashley, Rob and Grant and Philip and Andrea.
So Natalie and Ashley are correct. They were a pair. Rob and Grant were a pair, and so were Andrea and Philip. So you get another 2 points for completing that question. You have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. Congratulations. You're doing well. And we are going to go to our last question before our final game. We have this is game one, and then we're going to get to game two. The final question of game one, we're going super new school now. After Roxroy made the decision to smash the hourglass and reverse the outcome of the Mergatory challenge, who won the actual immunity challenge and was safe from the vote?
Who won immunity at Survivor 42?
The Mergatory.
Now, okay, so that they changed up the hourglass and then one person got immunity from the group.
So it was the original group of winners who became the group of losers.
Yes, and then that's what they did in season 41 too. I don't remember what the challenge was. I have almost no idea. I just kind of think about who was up for elimination. I believe it was it Tori?
Tori is correct. You get 2 more points. Good job. Yeah, it was Tori.
Tori is good at the challenges.
Apparently she is. Lydia voted out there. She was up for the boat. Jonathan and Marianne's name were getting thrown around as well. But of course, it was Lydia who goes home. You are correct. You have a perfect score so far in this quiz, and you get to the second game, which is going to be a mini twist list.
Second game.
It's a short twist list. You earn the second game. You were going to get to the second game no matter what. But here is the second game. It's a little twitch list. It's not as long as my normal twitch list. You have to name different players who fit a category. And here is the category. There are 7 players who have been voted out more than once within a single season of Survivor. You have to name them. And before we get to the game, because there's one that would be controversial, and I'm going to give you this name because it would be considered a wrong answer. It's Rick Devens, because in The Edge of Extinction, he was voted out once. The second time he was eliminated, it was by fire making. It was not a vote. So there are 7 people that fit this category. And Rick Devens is not
7 times people got voted out twice in a season. Okay. All right.
Yes. And here are the rules. You're going to get a point for each correct answer. If you get one wrong, you will lose a point. And if you get 2 wrong, then the question ends. You can't get any more points.
Okay. I'm going to go with the first person to get voted out twice in a season is going to be Burton Roberts.
That is correct.
Okay, then the next person to get voted out twice in a season might be Matt Elrod.
That is correct. So you're at 10 points on the total quiz. You have the first 2.
Then the aforementioned Andrea Belkey.
That is correct. You get another point.
Okay, then people give it a twice a season. Then I'm going to say we will have Ozzy.
Ozzy is correct. The only person to ever get voted out 3 times in a season.
Does that count as then 3 times? Or
I said voted out more than once.
More than once. The question. Okay. All right.
So that does count. Yeah.
All right. So then we have Ozzy. Okay. Then we're going to have Laura Moret.
That is correct.
Okay.
You're at 5. There are 2 more.
Okay. Then we will also have Tina Wesson.
That is correct. And if you get this one right, you're going to have a perfect score on this quiz.
Who helped vote out Laura Moret, helped vote out Tina. I believe it's my friend Tyson Apostle.
Tyson Apostle, Winners at War, the most recent example of this. You are correct. The reason I did this Twitch list this week is that Tyson was voted out of Winners at War for the second time this week in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. So you get a perfect 15 points for the quiz. Congratulations. Perfect score. Easy. Very good job. And because of this, I'm going to give you a prize. And that is the Verbal Rebus is back. We haven't done it in a few weeks, Rob.
Walked right into back. That one.
People were asking, you said to Kalis, why have there been no more Verbal Rebuses? Mm-hmm. And now it's back.
Is that what I said?
Okay.
Sorry.
That is what I dreamt you said, at least. Mm-hmm. Okay. Blank stuff, according to James Miller.
My?
Correct. What Natalie White famously did to a rat?
Bludgeoned it.
Oh, what did she? I mean, she did.
Yeah.
What did she do? What was the rat was alive and then she did what to it? She killed it. Yes. Her. Yes. Kill is correct. Mm-hmm. the original Beauty Tribe player who got the farthest in Cagayan.
The original Beauty Tribe member that got the furthest. Was it Jared Jeffra?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was Jeffra. And this is the last one, plus who Twyla swore on and lied in Vanuatu.
This is Michael Jefferson.
Michael Jefferson. My I think we're really playing Jeffra
a little
son.
Fast and loose with the my killed Jeffra son.
Mike killed Jefferson. That sounds close enough to Michael Jefferson. It doesn't
getting
have to
a little
be
loosey goosey with the verbal rebus. Yes.
Hey, that's how okay. I play. I like to play loosey goosey all the time.
That's true. All right. Jordan, where can people keep up with you?
Well, you could. I've actually changed my Twitter account to @90MinuteKalish because that's the amount of time you're going to get me for Twitch next season. Wow. You think that this has been loosey goosey? If I have to fill 90 minutes of questions, that's going to be very loosey goosey. Now you can follow me @JordanKalish on Twitter. If you want to check out the live game stuff that I've been talking about, Survivor Brooklyn South Facebook page. That's always a good one. You can see the videos. You can see Tiffany playing for not as long as she should have been playing for. Because of her freaking tribe, but it was still a good night. Still a good night. But it was that you could follow. You could check out that Facebook page and listen to Twitch next week. We'll be back, baby.
All right, Jordan Kalish, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay.
You too, Rob. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Look, anytime you can get a podcast with Jordan Kalish and Matt Blankenship, you're in for a treat, and that's exactly what we had here today. Of course, we've got so much coming up in our Survivor podcast feed from all of our contributors. Make sure you subscribe for all things Survivor at robiswebsite.com/survivorfeed. We also announced last night that tickets are now on sale for our Toronto live show. If you want to join us in person, I will be in Toronto for two nights on May 10th and May 11th. robiswebsite.com/Toronto for Survivor on Wednesday and the Big Brother Canada finale on Thursday. So it should be a really, really fun week in Toronto. So if you can make it out there, we'd love to see you. robiswebsite.com/Toronto. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.